Has anyone ever had a day that it just seems like nothing goes right? Ever. If you haven't, get ready. Because it will come one day. Things don't go right, and quite often I say this phrase, that isn't supposed to happen. The alarm goes off at 5 something in the morning. That is never supposed to happen. Or the alarm doesn't go off. Well, that's not supposed to happen. You get downstairs and there's no milk in the fridge. That's not supposed to happen. Because someone would have written on the fridge door, there's no milk, we need to buy some, right? Anyone ever happened before? Anyone ever gone downstairs, no milk? Not supposed to happen, people. Or you get in your car and you're driving, you go, I've got to get petrol. And you have to stop at the BP on Moggill Road and pay 20 cents more than any other petrol station in Brisbane. And you think, this isn't supposed to happen. And you get to work and the internet's down and someone's sick and you've got to do extra work. And you have these days, they just don't turn out as you expected. It happens, doesn't it? It happens in our work. It happens with our kids. It happens with our partners, our husbands, our wives. It happens with our ministry. It happens in this church. Things don't always work out as we expect them to work out. We're doing a series in Luke. And this morning we're looking at John the Baptist. And he's going to help us out a little bit as we explore this phrase, this shouldn't happen. And it speaks more strongly to an idea, something that we all have. Expectations. Has anyone ever had an expectation? Don't share what your expectation is now. That's probably not healthy. But what I love about the Gospels is this. They show people who are real. People who we look to as people of faith, people who are sort of going, you know, these are the people that we look up to. And these are the holy spiritual people. And yet they're very real people, aren't they? I find that comforting. So we're going to be looking at John the Baptist and how he helps us to understand expectations. Let me give you some context. In his day, the Hebrew were living in occupation. Rome were oppressing them, and the Hebrew people believed that the Messiah would come and set them free. Set them free of Roman rule. And they'd establish the kingdom of God on earth and be signs and wonders and the power of God to be present. They all believed this, and they hoped for this, and they expected this. And John was a prophetic voice in this coming about, wasn't he? He was the one that was like calling from the wilderness to people to repent of their sins. And he made a way for Christ. In fact, John had a pretty big job, didn't he? Who'd want to baptize Jesus? But he did that. And I wonder if after he'd done that, he went, well, if I've got a purpose, this is it. It's done. I can sit back now. I wonder if he thought that or not. I'm not sure he did. But surely if he's baptized who believed to be the Messiah, now it's up to the Messiah to do what the Messiah should do. And the Messiah would do the things that John expected him to do, wouldn't he? Well, as time went by, as John sort of was believing that Jesus was the Messiah, he became more and more bold. And he began speaking out against a whole lot of things. And there was this dude called King Herod. Anyone heard of King Herod? Guess what he named many of his sons? Herod. Would have been really difficult at like, Herod, have you cleaned your room? Herod, can you wash up the dishes? Which Herod did he choose? Would have been confusing. Would have been at our house anyway. And he has this guy called Herod, and one of his sons, also called Herod, wants to marry, doesn't want to be married to his wife anymore. But who he wants to be married to is his brother's wife. How's that for awkward? So he divorces his wife and wants to marry his brother's wife, and John starts to speak out against him. And John's like, dude, this is not right. And in chapter 3, we read of Luke, we read, John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his evil marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things done. And Herod locked John up in prison. So here is John. He's seen the Messiah come. He's expecting the Messiah to overthrow Rome, to set the people free. And he comes up and he's actually thrown in jail. And I reckon the first day he's in jail and he's looking at the guard over there and saying, it's okay. The Messiah's coming. Then you're all going to get it. You're all going to pay for what you're doing here. Second day comes. Jesus coming. He's the Messiah. It'll all be good. I'm still in jail, but he's going to come for me soon. I just know this. Third day. Have you got any milk and honey? I'm a bit hungry. But don't worry. Jesus is going to come because he's the Messiah. Day four. Still in jail. Jesus, are you coming? Day five. I wonder if Jesus actually knows where I am. Day six. Have you forgotten about me, Jesus? And on day seven, I'm wondering if John is starting to doubt if Jesus actually is who he says he is. I mean, he's going, I'm stuck in prison. This isn't supposed to happen. We're supposed to take down Rome. We're supposed to see the Hebrew nation once again put back to its rightful position. We're supposed to see the kingdom of God made present here on earth. John's saying, I expected something very different to this. I certainly didn't expect to be caught up in here. And all the time that John's there, Jesus is out teaching and preaching and healing and doing a whole lot of things that perhaps others didn't expect him to do. Jesus is out eating with sinners and tax collectors. That's not supposed to happen. He's a Messiah. He calls some people to be his disciples, which have some shady backgrounds. That's not supposed to happen. The disciples are supposed to be a certain mold of people. John wouldn't have done that. He talks about loving his enemies and not judging them. But we have to take Rome down, so there has to be judgment. And so here's John, caught in prison. He hears about this because his disciples come and see him. And he's thinking to himself, this is not supposed to happen. And in verse 18, thanks, Ross. In verse 18, we read these words. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord and asked, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? John's question is powerful because his expectations aren't being met. And he goes, I need to discover what's going on. I'm actually going to go to... He couldn't go to Jesus, so he got somebody else to go to Jesus. And finally he asked, are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? I mean, he was in jail. It's not happening how it should be happening. His expectations of the Messiah weren't being met. We're looking at expectations today. I want to start this next part by making a statement which I believe pretty much to be true. Disappointment is always a consequence of an expectation not being met. Disappointment is always a consequence of an expectation not being met. You think about it. Can I just ask any of those of you who are married? Have you ever been disappointed with an unmet expectation from your partner? Right answer, gentlemen. But not a truthful one. Think about it. Wherever you are, we get disappointed, don't we? We kind of go, well, in the church, this should be happening in the church. Or at work, we go, this should be happening in our work. This should be happening in this relationship. And I'm cranky, I'm angry, I'm sad because the expectation that I had actually isn't being met. We are looking at expectations. It's a big topic, huge topic, Can't cover it all today, but I want to focus on one part of it. And that's our expectation in relationship with others. See, this is what's happening with John and Jesus at some degree. John is expecting the Messiah to do all these things. He's going, well, actually, it's not happening the way I think it should. So I'm going to ask Jesus about it. So, that's what we're looking at. Expectations. And I'm going to give you the end point of the sermon now. So if you need to fall asleep or talk or play on your phone, you know where I want to get you to, okay? My expectation is that you'll do none of those things, so I get it out there nice and quick, but they may not be agreed to yet. Here's the thing about expectations. The only valid expectation in any relationship is one that has been mutually agreed upon. The only valid expectation in any relationship is one that has been mutually agreed upon. Now, I know that some of you might want to disagree with that statement, and that's okay. We can disagree with that statement, and if we've got time at the end, we might actually talk about it a little bit more. But I want to say this is probably where we're going to start. The only valid expectation in any relationship is one that has been mutually agreed upon. I was thinking about this, and I thought, but surely there must be some exceptions to that rule, right? Because we all like exceptions to the rule, right? Especially if it suits us. So I thought about a couple of different things. I thought, what about marriage? Surely there has to be an exception to the rule in marriage. Surely I can have an expectation that my husband or wife will be faithful to me and cherish me. Is that a valid expectation? Not your question. Yes, it is. It is a valid expectation. Absolutely. In the wedding ceremony, I asked the groom and the bride, will you, forsaking or others, be faithful to whoever it is, as long as you both shall live? And the general response is, I will. And then the wedding vows that they say something along the lines that I will love and stand by you, etc., etc. There is a mutual expectation that people will be loyal to and loving to and stand by each other. But you know where we trip up? What love looks like. What does love actually look like? Every man brings an expectation to marriage, what it looks like to be loved and cherished. And the truth is, every woman brings an expectation into marriage about what love looks like as well. If those expectations are not discussed and not agreed upon, then you're probably going to trip up. Right? Anyone ever tripped up with that sort of thing in their own marriage? I certainly have. Thank goodness Vicky's not here to hear this morning. She could tell you some stories. And she probably will. Another possible exception could be in the workplace. Now, who's ever had a boss? Most of us here ever had a boss? Most of us? I'm not talking about marriage anymore, guys. Okay? I'm talking about the workplace. Surely we can expect certain things from people and them from us. Absolutely. I mean, when we go into work, we sign a contract, don't we? And you're signing up to certain amounts of expectations and a relationship with your boss and vice versa. Where people get tripped up here, though, is this. Perhaps your job description is that you are to lead the accounting department. Sounds like a fun job. Lead the accounting department. But what does that actually mean? What does leading that department mean to your boss, and what does it mean to you? Does it mean about leadership? What does it mean about culture and outcomes and goals? Have they been discussed even? This is where we get tripped up. It can't be. Did I go back? I need to go back to there. If they haven't been mutually agreed upon, then our expectations could be very different from one another. So maybe or maybe not this rule applies to work. There's another one which is going to be a bit controversial. And I think this is the only one so far that I've been able to gain that I think actually is true, is the exception. A parent can ask a child to do something and validly expect the child to do it, even without them agreeing to it. Now, it's easy for us who are adults to say that. I'll be waiting for my response from my son and my daughter tonight. But I want us to think about this for a moment. The parent asks the child to tidy their room. A parent asks their child to stop beating up their brother. And so on. And the difference is, in this situation, the parent has a very particular responsibility and authority when it comes to the child. And so I actually think in this situation there is an exception. And that is valid. Having said that, as a child matures, it's smart to begin to negotiate some of the expectations. Because as a child matures, they gain responsibility. They need to take authority, and smart parents actually give them responsibility and authority and negotiate with them. But I still wonder, I still think it's valid in that sort of relationship for the parent to expect the child to, even if there's not agreement. Because here's the issue with it. It's a very different relationship, isn't it? Because did the child ask to be your child? Did they have any say in it? No. They're stuck with you. You're stuck with me. The only valid expectation in any relationship is one that has been mutually agreed upon. I'm not sure what you think about that statement, but that's the only one that I think is actually a valid one that I've come up with. Happy to hear more a little bit later. The reality is, expectations are real for all of us. You have expectations, I have expectations. Quite often, where we trip up is because these expectations are often unconscious. They've grown out of our life experiences. They've grown out of our family of origin. They've grown from our peer groups, through our church, through scripture, through media, through the movies we watch, the songs we listen to, the fairy tales, the books that we read. We all have these unconscious expectations, whether we believe it or not. I asked a counsellor many years ago, what is the one, it's always the most common expectation you come across that people trip over? You know what she said? Without missing a beat. She said, the expectation that people will be nice to me. What you're saying is, the expectation that people be nice to me in a way that they make, that I feel like they're being nice to me. And I heard that and I went, well, I have that expectation. Don't you? That people generally just be nice to me. People carry unconscious expectations. Who remembers that when they got married, the first Christmas they had together with the other side of the family? Anyone remember that? Anyone ever had problems at Christmas time? Because our family does Christmas this way, isn't that the way that we should do Christmas? It's not a name thing, it's just this unconscious thing, but we've always done it this way. Or in birthday parties, this is the way that we should do birthday parties. It's just a part of who we are. Many of our expectations are unconscious. They're not just unconscious, but quite often, they're unrealistic. I do prepare, which is a course that you do for people who are getting married. And the course has some really powerful tools to discover people's strengths and weaknesses in their relationship. But the tool also has a built-in capacity to identify idealistic distortion. That there's rose-coloured glasses that most young married people, not looking at anyone, when they're going to get married, sort of get caught up in. I've spoken to couples who, because they've never really had a big fight, never believe they will ever have a big fight because they haven't had one in the 18 months they've been dating. That's an unrealistic expectation, that you'll never have a fight. And if you never have a fight, I want to suggest maybe two things are happening. One, you're not being honest, because you can't agree with everyone and everything all the time. And secondly, there may be a big power differentiation somewhere. There might be someone who's lording power over the other person. I spoke to another couple who sat with me and they said that when they're married, the problems they're having now will all be sorted out. Because when they get married, it'll all be... It's unrealistic, isn't it? It's unrealistic to think that everyone's going to be nice to you. Do you know why I know that? Because I'm not always nice. And guess what? That is true. It is true, Byron. You're not always nice either, are you? It's true about us. We're not always nice. Sometimes people are having a bad day. Sometimes people are having a bad week. Sometimes people are having a bad year. It's unrealistic to think that we're always going to be, people are always going to be nice to us because I know that I'm not always nice. Lord, forgive me. What about the unrealistic expectations we put onto churches and other Christians? How often have you said it or heard it said, if they were a Christian, they would or they wouldn't? I mean, how unrealistic is that? They might be a follower of Jesus, but they are just as messed up as you are. Unless, of course, you don't think you're messed up in any way, and that's unrealistic. We're all a little bit messed up. The good news is Jesus loves us and helps us along the way. Our expectations are quite often unconscious, unrealistic, and unspoken. I remember at my previous church speaking with a young lady who had been going out with this guy for quite some time, quite a serious relationship, but at her bidding they took a break. They were on an extended break, and about 3 or 4 weeks later I noticed her at church. She was incredibly upset, and I sort of said, look, you know, what's going on? And you know what she said? He hasn't contacted me. He knows how emotional I am. If he cared for me, he would have phoned me or sent me flowers or done something. And my most nice pastoral voice, I said, but didn't you break up with him? Weren't you on a break? Sounds like a Friends episode, right? Weren't you on a break? The girls are part of a group, and that same group were talking about this that I visited one night, because that's what happens. They talk about what's happening with the people they're with. And one of the girls had some interesting insight. She said perhaps she was expecting him to fight for her. It was unconscious and it was unspoken. And because of that, she was hurt, sad, angry. The same group, I've got to tell you this story, it's so real. The same group was saying Valentine's Day was coming up, and they'd agree with their partners, their boyfriends or husbands, whoever it was at the time, that it's such a consumeristic, materialistic thing, we're not going to participate in it. But these two girls went to work, and they saw all their friends at work getting these things, and one of them said, I thought, well, maybe when I get home, you know, I'll have some flowers or something like that. And the other one said, I thought that he might have actually gone, let's go out for dinner and have a nice dinner. And they get home, and guess what happened? So many of our expectations, which leads to disappointment and hurt and sadness and trouble, are unspoken. One of the most destructive comments I hear is, if she really loved me, she would. If he really loved me, he would. Would they? Have you explained it? Have you told them? Have you helped them to understand, especially, I'm not picking on ladies, but like us guys, we're pretty thick. Come on, guys, most of us know this. It's unrealistic, Trevor. And a lot of our expectations are unagreed upon. I recently did membership course with some people from here, and one of the questions I had for them was, what are your expectations of me as your minister? Because they've all got them. You've all got them. And there was dead silence for a little while. And so I said, oh, okay. Well, let me tell you what my expectations of you are as a confirmed member of this congregation. And after I'd done, there was three things. After I'd done that, they started to tell me some things, which was great. And I used to do this in my previous church. We were very clear on this idea that as people join the church, what are your expectations? What we'd do is we'd ask them, what do you expect? We'd have a great big whiteboard, however many people are there, and we'd just list them all up. We'd list them. We'd write them down. We'd check how we've written what your expectation is correctly here. And what we'd do is we'd go through them one by one. And we'd say, yep, that's a really valid expectation. I think that you can trust us, rely on us, for us to really try to make sure that happens. An example. Quite often people are saying, this was brought up the other day, last week. Oh, we expect you to preach from God's word, preach the gospel. And I went, okay, I think that's a reasonable expectation. I said, you know, I'll work hard at trying to understand scripture and what God might be saying through it. And I said, so just let me check, you want me to work hard on that. What happens if you disagree with what I'm saying? Am I meeting your expectation or aren't I meeting your expectation? So what happens, people, when I don't meet your expectation about what I'm saying from God's word? Am I still meeting the expectation of preaching God's word? Doing my best? Absolutely. So we talked about that a little bit. Another expectation, so I think that's valid. I think it's valid to think about there's certain things that I will do. I absolutely think that. But there are some things that I would say that sometimes that expectation is actually not going to be met. I remember, again, I'll use my previous church as an example because it's easier. People would say, well, we expect you to visit every person in the congregation at least once or twice a year. We had a congregation of about 400 people. And I said, yeah, we could do that, but we won't get anything else done. And so we said, that expectation is not going to be met. In fact, that's not what your call for us to do here actually is. Another person said, well, I expect you to come around and meet with my husband, who's not a Christian, and meet with him regularly enough that he might become a Christian. And I kind of go, oh, my heart's breaking for you, but that expectation is not going to happen. If he invites me around, very different thing. Very different thing. And so we had to work through. And some people would look at that and go, I don't like that. But we'd be very clear about what our expectations, what was agreed upon in our relationship. You see, when we love others, we genuinely leave them free to actually respond to and live up to the expectations they've placed on us. Just as you are free to meet or not meet other people's expectations. See, we carry unspoken and unagreed expectations right across this church. It has to do with relationships. It might have to do with style of song. It might have to do with time of service. It might have to do with visuals. It might have to do with the preacher. It might have to do with air conditioning. We all have them. We have them right across, especially what happens with our kids, the big, big one, especially for young families. We all have unspoken and unagreed upon expectations, which are never spoken about or agreed upon. And the problem with these type of expectations is that they lead to judgment. They do. Why didn't this leader do this? They suck as a leader. Why didn't this person follow me up? They mustn't care. They're not a caring person. Why did they do that? They knew I didn't want them to do that. And we begin to judge. And scripture is really clear about this, isn't it? Jesus is crystal clear. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I find that an incredibly scary scripture. Jesus goes on to talk about doing what? Instead of taking the speck, taking the log. out of our own eye. Unconscious, unrealistic, unspoken, unagreed expectations mean we judge people in a particular way that damages them and us and the relationship. And you know what that is called? Sin. Anyone here know what the ninth commandment is? Trevor, you're at the first service, you don't get to play. Anyone know what the ninth commandment is? Don't look it up. You go to Exodus 20 to look it up, I know you all knew that. But, anyone know what it is? Never heard a sermon on it. I've never ever heard a sermon on it, but maybe we might do a series on the Ten Commandments so I can do it. It is this. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbour. Did anyone know that actually was one of the Ten Commandments? Yep. There is something closely related to expectations, and that's assumptions. Expectations and assumptions go really... Yes, I see the spelling mistake too. Sorry for all you spelling people out there. And there's the other half who aren't spelling people going, I don't see a spelling mistake. Let's not lose focus. Let's get back to what's important. Expectations and assumptions quite often go together in this whole idea. When they're not met, we begin to make assumptions about other people. There's a rabbit hunter. It's not Brett. It's a rabbit hunter. So if you don't know about Brett's rabbit hunting story, he might tell it in one of our church services one day, but ask some of the youth that were here on Friday night. Okay? There's a rabbit hunter, and he goes into the forest to shoot some rabbits. And he's there, that's what rabbit hunters do, and he's sitting there waiting, and he sees a rabbit run by. Before he gets his gun up, the rabbit runs straight into a log, knocks itself out. And he goes, scored. Picks up the rabbit, takes it home, cooks it up. All good. The next day he goes back to the same spot. He's getting himself ready, and all of a sudden, a rabbit comes running along, hits a log, knocks itself out. He's going, this is too good to be true. Takes it home, cooks it up the next day. Comes back. Guess what happened? A rabbit comes running along, hits itself on the log, knocks itself out, and you can find this hunter there every single day ever since. For the rest of his life, waiting for rabbits to knock itself out the same way. That's a dumb story, isn't it? It's a stupid story. But if someone acts a certain way, we actually develop expectations and assumptions about how they will continue to act. If they act the same way again and again and again, even years later, we'll be carrying assumption and expectation that they will act similarly. And that's a stupid expectation and assumption to make. Because I don't know about you, but I believe people can change. Now, of course, proof is always in action. But if people have been, if they've acted in a damaging way against us, we make assumptions about their motives. And in doing so, we begin to bear false testimony against our neighbour. Any assumption that is not clarified and confirmed is actually false testimony. Any expectation that is not agreed upon can lead us to judgment. And the opposite can happen. And this is the crazy thing about expectations. In a positive way, someone's really nice to us. And you go, wow, you assume they really care for us. Someone's nice for us again the next week, and we assume they care for us. And they're really nice the third time. And then the fourth week you see them, they do something that hurts you, and you think, they don't really care about me. They were just using me for whatever it is. I think they've rejected me. Expectations and assumptions go together so easily, and we have to be really careful with them. Genuine love. Genuine love engages with people as they really are. And not trying to change them, but allowing God to change them. But quite often, assumptions and expectations stop us from engaging with people as they really are, and we begin to impose our testimony, our expectations, and our judgments on them. How does that make you feel when someone does that to you? Because sometimes, some people are just having a bad day, a bad week, or a bad year. So, back to John. You're probably going, where's John in all this? John thought that Rome was going to be overthrown. He had these expectations about how the Messiah should act and respond. And they weren't being met. So he began to go, hang on. There's a gap between my expectation and the reality of his actions. And here he is, sitting in jail. And isn't that a metaphor for what happens when we're angry or sad or hurt, when we have had unmet expectations? And John could have kept on complaining or wondering, but what he did is he went to Jesus. Well, he didn't, because he was in jail, but he sent somebody to actually discover and say, am I really believing the right thing about you? Are my expectations real? Every time you are angry, every time you're upset, whenever you are sad, let it be a trigger for you discovering what unmet expectation has occurred. And if you're smart, you will actually make this a priority in your life, because it can and will change relationships. Do what John did. Otherwise, you might be caught in prison. I'm going to take a moment to be still. I'm going to lead you through an exercise. Let's just take a moment to pause. Lord, if we're real, we all have expectations that are unmet. Sometimes it's things that are really small, and the other times it are big issues in our lives. And Lord, sometimes we find it hard to identify what's really going on. Lord, would you help us to recognize those unconscious and unspoken, unrealistic expectations, and find a way to find agreement as to what expectations could be valid in a relationship. God, if we're real, we have expectations of you that are not met at times. Help us remember that we are not you. And Lord, there are expectations that we have for one another here and those beyond here as well, Lord. Would you help us to find real life? Life beyond anger and upset and sad. Help us to look in, that we might be able to look out with fresh eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Quick exercise. You will not have to share this with anyone. It's okay. I want you to think about, many of you won't have to think too hard. I want you to think about an experience in the last week, last day, week or month, where you've had an unmet expectation. It could be that someone didn't phone you back. It could be that someone didn't return your email in a timely manner. Let me rephrase it. In the time that you wanted them to return that email. It could be something much deeper and stronger than that. It could be an issue at work. It could be an issue in the church. It could be an issue in your family. An experience or a time in the last day, week or month where you had an unmet expectation. I ask you to close your eyes while you're doing this so you can just concentrate a little bit more. Thank you. I want you to think about that. I want you to begin to process. You see, it's all good talking about theory, but action's actually important. I want you to think about, okay, I was upset by this. I was hurt by this. I was angry about this. I want you to just run through those four different unwords. Okay, so was it just something that they're part of me, unconsciously, or did I actually, is it realistic to expect them to do that? Did I actually communicate clearly with them what my expectation was? Or perhaps, did we actually agree to this? Let those things filter your thoughts now. Okay, you have one of two choices coming out of that. You can either talk to the person and clarify, hey, I thought, and they can say, oh, I didn't know that. And then you have start to a new relationship. But if you can't do that or won't do that, then you've only got one other choice. Otherwise you will remain in prison. And that's to let it go. To hand it to Christ. To allow it to not keep you in prison anymore. Because quite often, it's not the other person that's really hurt, it's actually you. So what will you do about that? Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you now. Loving God, I thank you. Indeed, we thank you that your call to us to love one another is deep and strong. And Lord, you long for us to have reconciliation. You long for us to be bearers of your light. Lord, for each of the personal circumstances that people have thought through just now, Lord, I pray for one or two things. That you'll give the person the capacity and the strength in as healthy a way as they can to approach and to ask and to question and to work through with that other. But Lord, if that's just not going to happen, then I pray that you'd release people now from that hurt, that anger and that sadness. That they might find new life with you, their Lord, their Saviour, their King, their Messiah. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, this will help you if you engage in it. My hope is that we might be able to encourage one another in these things.